In a couple of weeks, we're going to have our annual tomato sandwich night, right? And that will be on a Wednesday night. How many of you like tomato sandwiches? Many of you do. About half of you do. We're also going to have pizza, okay? For the other half of you that don't like tomato sandwiches. And our youth and college group will be coming that night as well. That begins at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall, the social hall. But in order to have a tomato sandwich night, what's the first thing you're going to need? A tomato, right? And Bill Selman has a huge garden, and he brought me a tomato this morning. Isn't that a beauty? Guess what I'm having for lunch today? I'm having my tomato sandwich early. Today we're going to talk about not tomatoes so much, or we're not going to talk about a tomato sandwich night. We're going to talk about planning, okay? Last week I read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2 about Paul gives us three occupations, so to speak, that we can draw from to learn about the choices that we make. And that's what God, that's how we live our lives, the choices that we make. And we looked last week at being July the 4th weekend, we looked at a soldier and how I dared you to give your best, to give our best. Today I'm going to talk to you about planting. I dare you in your life to plant, but to plant in faith. There's the key right there. We want to plant in faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, Paul said, "It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops." Now, I believe there are many pictures of the Christian life the Bible gives. One of them I'm going to share with you today. We looked again, as I said, the soldier last week. We're going to look at a farmer today. And the Bible compares the Christian life to farming, aspects of farming, over and over and over and over again. Genesis 8:22 says, "While the earth remains," God says, "seed time, planting and harvesting, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night." That won't cease. That's not going to end. That's just life as it is, as we experience. So, God has written into this universe laws. And we're going to look today at the laws of planting and the laws of harvesting. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 tells us this, "And do not be deceived, God is not mocked." Well, we probably know that. We're not going to mock God and get away with it. But then he goes on to say, whatever one sows, whatever a person plants, that's what he's going to reap. And that's a principle in life that will never, ever be broken. And so today, I want to dare you in your life, in your Christian walk, to plant in faith, specifically as we're going to look at God's laws of the harvest, God's laws of planting and harvesting, God's laws of sowing and reaping. Because I could share with you up front of this sermon now, if we ignore the laws of sowing and reaping in our lives, it could harm us. It could not make life as rich and as good and as blessed as we like. But if we wisely use those laws by sowing and reaping in our lives, we're going to be blessed by it. And we can use these laws literally in every single area of our lives. We can use these laws of sowing and reaping in our relationships, in our health, in our finances, in our career, in our education, in all areas of life. Now, I don't want to scare you, but let me just tell you up front, there's 10 little laws. Every one of them is brief. We're going to be out of here on time, I promise you, okay? So let's get through these laws. Let's go through them. Number one, will you agree that everything begins as a seed? Everything begins as a seed. Every idea started as a seed idea. That's the first law of the harvest. Every dream started as a dream seed. Every achievement, even nations. The United States of America started as an idea, a seed idea of life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness. Did you know that Five Forks Baptist Church began as a seed? It began as a seed idea. Literally everything that's living on planet Earth came from a seed. Galatians 1, verse 11. And God said, or Genesis 1:11, I'm sorry, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants that yield seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which in them is their seed, each according to its kind, all over the earth. God said it, and the Bible says, and it was so. It was done. What do we mean when we're talking about planting a seed? Well, I'm talking about much more than the garden in your backyard, okay? A seed, I believe, is anything valuable that I can give away. That's what I'm going to define a seed as today. When we give away praise, as we did this morning, you know what? There's value to that. When we give away advice, when we give away good advice, there's value to that. When we give away time, there's value in giving away time. When we give away our money, there's value to that. When we give away our experience to help other people, there's value to that. When we give our love away, there's great value to that. A seed is anything I give away in my Christian life that will help somebody else. Words can be seeds. Words can be seeds that we plant in people's minds. They can grow and they can bear fruit. They can help. And so we need to choose our words wisely, especially when we're dealing with people that we love. Our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, our friends, those are seeds. So let me ask you up front today, what kind of seeds are you planting in your relationships today? Are you planting seeds of trust, or are you planting seeds of distrust? Are you planting seeds of kindness, or are you planting seeds of crankiness? Are you planting seeds of anger and bitterness and meanness? Or are you planting seeds that's going to build up or tear down? The Bible says we'll reap whatever we sow, including our words. The second thing that we got to do, everything begins as a seed. So what do you do with a seed? You plant it, right? We plant the seed. Jesus spoke about this not only in life, but I believe about himself as well in John 12, 24, talking about his body, talking about our lives and the seeds that we can plant. Truly, truly, Jesus said, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, unless a seed is planted and it dies, it remains alone. But if that seed dies, it will bear much fruit. I've had gardens in my life. And the tomato that Bill gave me this morning, and I look at gardens around now, and I've wondered many times, how can you take a little seed, put it in dirt, maybe put a little fertilizer on it, water it a little bit, it will die, it will rot, but out of that comes this plant. And out of this plant comes fruit. How does that happen? Where does the power come from? Why does that plant have to die in order to produce fruit? I like to plant certain things. My backyard would not allow me to plant. When we built our house, they graded. And they graded all the topsoil off. All I've got is hard clay in the back. So it's tough to grant to plant and grow anything back there. But I've tried. And this year when I was going through the garage, looking at my work table and all, I found a package or two of seeds that I bought last year thinking I would plant them. And I didn't. I forgot to plant them. You know how much worth that seed is that's still in that package? Nothing. Nothing. Why? Because it has to be given away. Imagine a farmer goes to the feed store, he buys a big sack of seed or some crop that he's going to grow, but then he goes home and he takes that sack of seed and he puts it in the barn and he's afraid to give it away. He's afraid to plant it. The farmer's thinking, I've got to hold on to that seed. I might not have enough. You and I would say that's foolish. Seeds are meant to be planted, aren't they? Seeds are meant to be given away. The Bible speaks like this. Planting and sowing is an act of faith. When I plant something in my life, it's like I'm saying, When I plant this seed, I believe that something good is going to happen because I'm planting this seed. Something good is going to happen because I'm giving this away. I'm not going to keep it in my bag. I believe it's going to produce some fruit if I plant it in my life or somebody else's life. But planting seeds is also risky, because when you plant a seed, what happens? You can't see it anymore, can you? We don't know what's happening to that seed that's buried in the dirt there. All you gardeners out there, now, you don't go out to your garden every day and dig up the seeds that you planted to see if they're growing, do you? You don't dig them up to see if they're sprouting anything. When we plant a seed, it's covered up and it's buried, and we don't know what it's doing. We don't know if it's ready to sprout or not. That's where faith comes in, because you can't see it. What if it doesn't sprout? You're tempted to dig it up. What if it fails? What if I give my seed away and nothing comes out of it? That's where faith comes in. The Bible says without faith, it's absolutely impossible to please God. Jesus said in Mark 4, 26 and 27, the kingdom of God is like a man, as if a man should scatter seed, if he should throw seed out on the ground. He goes to bed at night and he sleeps, and he gets up the next morning and the seed sprouts and grows, but he doesn't know how it did it. I don't know how it does it. Again, how you plant a seed and it dies, it rots, but out of that comes life. We can't see it until it sprouts. That's the element of faith involved in all of this. After we've prayed, then we should plant. This is the law of sowing and reaping. The farmer starts planting because no sowing, no harvesting. Ecclesiastes 11:6. In the morning, sow. In the morning, plant your seed. And at evening, withhold not your hand, for you don't know what will prosper, this or that, or whether both or alike will be good. Now, this is basically the old phrase that we've heard. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You heard that? Yeah. That's what investors say. The writer of Ecclesiastes is saying, when you sow, when you plant seeds, plant them in several areas. We should be planting good seeds in many areas of our lives, because we never know what's going to grow. Some of you, you're waiting on God now. But really, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you to start planting seeds. And when I have a need, I need to plant a seed. And if we don't make a deposit, there is no return. So we need to plant seeds. When we plant a seed, thirdly, we can reap what is planted one day. That's the law of reproduction that God wrote when He created the universe. If a farmer plants a field of beans, what crop should he expect to get? Watermelons? No, he's going to get beans, right? If he plants corn in the ground, what do you think he's going to get? Zucchini? No, he's going to get corn. We're going to get out of life whatever we plant. This is an inviolable rule of the universe. It will either work for you or against you. The farmer doesn't wonder or doubt about what's going to grow when he plants his seed. Galatians tells us, Paul wrote, whatever one sows, that he will also reap. There's a phrase in Genesis that's used over and over and over, and I believe it with all my heart. I see the truth of it today. There are some who deny it, that things are changing over time. But God said that I'm making everything after its own kind. That phrase is talking about we always reap the same thing that we're going to sow. Again, that can work both ways, either for us or against us. Let me give you some verses. Let me give you some negative verses, examples first, okay? In Job 4:8, as I have seen those who plow iniquity, so trouble, they reap the same. Proverbs 22:6, whoever sows injustice will reap calamity. Hosea 10:13. You have plowed iniquity. You planted iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You've seen the fruit of lies. Matthew 7:2. For with the judgment you pronounce, with the judgment you use to judge somebody else, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, with the amount that you use it, that amount would be measured to you. Those are negative examples. Now let me give you a couple, three positive examples. Proverbs 11:18. The wicked earn deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness will get a sure reward. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. James 3:16. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Are you getting an idea of what I'm speaking of today? That this is not a minor message of the Bible, the law of the harvest, that we'll reap what we sow. We're going to reap what we sow with our children, with our spouses, with our work, with our education. It will either work for you or against you. We sow anger, guess what? That's what you're going to get. Maybe even angry kids. You sow patience, that's what you're going to get. Maybe even patient kids. You reap what you sow. I cannot sow irresponsibility and reap success. I cannot sow laziness and reap a reward. I cannot sow stinginess and reap a blessing in my life. The Bible is full of examples of this. You remember a fellow by the name of Jacob? His name meant supplanter. His name meant cheater, okay? It meant he was going to cheat people. Jacob cheated his brother. He cheated his dad. And you know what happened? He left and he worked for his father-in-law Laban. Guess what Laban did? He cheated him. Haman was a man who reaped bitterness. He built a set of gallows to kill a guy named Mordecai. And you know what happened? He ended up being hung on it. Galatians 6:8. For the one who sows to his flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Everything starts as a seed. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. Whatever I plant is what I'm going to reap. Now let me slip this fourth point in, okay? We're moving along pretty good here. Do you know there's other planters besides you in your life? Other people are planting all around us. And by the way, you're reaping what some of them have planted, both good and bad, from those who went before you and some that are living now. Some of us grew up in this congregation, and sadly, I'm sorry for this, maybe a few grew up in a home with abuse, or a history of alcohol, or a history of divorce, and you have to decide now, that chain is going to break in my life. It's going to break right now. I can't control the past, but I am going to break the chain now with God's help. You're harvesting both good and bad from your past because you're not the only person who has sown or the only person sowing. Everything we do has consequences. And by the way, our life is going to affect future generations as well. So we need to take this planting thing pretty seriously here. I can look at my life, man, I've got a bucket full of faults. Probably 10 bucket fulls, you know. But yet I'm a Christian. And I'm the Christian I am because my parents and my grandparents were faithful Christians. Some would say to me, well, Howard, I don't have a family like that. I'd like to have a legacy like that. And I can only say three words. You started. You started. Start it with your family. Start it with your family name. Determine that the future generations of your family are going to be blessed because you're going to plant seeds of prayer and love and godliness and generosity and faith and all those other Christian virtues that the people who come out of your family will have a blessing and a heritage and a legacy to build upon. John 4:38, Jesus said, I have sent you to reap for that which you did not labor, that you didn't work for. Others have worked, and you have entered into their labor. You're gathering their harvest in your lives. All right, let's get back to planting. But now let's step up to reaping. Here's the good stuff. Once we plant, and once we believe, we're going to reap. But we're going to reap in a different season in which we planted. Plants take time to grow. A good tomato is going to take what? 2 to 3 months, right? There's no instant maturity. We don't plant today, this morning, and then go out this afternoon and get the fruit. There's always a delay. And that's true when you plant anything in life. There's no such thing as instant success, right? That takes time. Ecclesiastes 3, the latter part of verse 2. For everything, you've heard of this, for everything there's a season, and a time for everything under heaven. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to plant and a time to harvest. In other words, there's a time to sow and a time to reap. Fruit ripens gradually. It doesn't ripen all at the same time. Do y'all know the difference between a vine-ripened tomato, and I don't have an example of the other one, but one of those hard pink things you buy in the grocery store? Which one do you prefer? That's a no-brainer, right? This big red one's got all the juice and the flavor that we want out of a tomato. It comes off of the vine. We miss the flavor when things are done in a hurry. When we plant a seed, we don't get to harvest immediately. There's always a delay. Some things take time, but they're worth it. Number 6, 10 seconds. Be patient, all right? As we're waiting on the seed that we planted, don't become impatient. And don't give up, because we'll reap in a season that's different than what we sowed in. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. 7th, when we do reap, we're going to reap more than we have sown, more than we have planted. Again, this can work for us or against us. This is called the law of multiplication. Plant a sunflower seed. That's what the slide is. Plant a sunflower seed and see what happens in a year or two. One little seed could give back like 100 or 1,000 seeds. We're always going to reap more than we sow. Jesus gave a parable about a farmer planting seed. And the good seed that he planted, he said, and these seeds fell into good soil and they produced grain, growing and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100 times more than what was planted. It all depends on what kind of seed that we're planting. If we plant gossip, guess what? We're going to get gossip about us back at us. If we plant criticism, we're going to get a lot more criticism about us. There's potential in every seed. And that old cliche says, anybody can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. That's because one seed can produce a lot of apples. Number 8. We need to plant more seed in order to get more harvest. This is the law of proportion. 2 Corinthians 9. The point is this, Paul wrote, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully, plants bountifully, will also reap bountifully. Each one must decide as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And for this sermon, God loves a cheerful planter. We've got to choose how big a harvest that we want in our lives. We get to choose how much God's going to bless us in our lives. The law of generosity works for anybody who will follow it. It works even for non-believers, just like gravity does. Proverbs 11:24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, only to suffer want. God is looking for givers. God is looking for planters to bless. Number 9, almost there. Coming back to what I said, we got to plant by faith. I believe it's one of the toughest jobs in the world, being a farmer. If a farmer only worked his crops when he felt like it, not much would be done, would it? I don't imagine that a farmer wants to get up early every day of the week. I think there's probably days he doesn't feel like planting and weeding and harvesting and doing all those things. A farmer does what he doesn't feel like doing many times. For you and I, we don't live by our feelings. Feelings can change like that. We live by faith. When we plant in faith, listen to this. This verse reminded me of the Haiti team. Those who sow, those who plant seeds in tears, shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with sounds of joy, bringing the harvest with him. Can I tell you something? There are some Sundays I don't feel like preaching. But I do. And I have. And I'll continue. Because I believe that God will take those sermons and plant seeds. And hopefully there will be some more people in heaven one day because I didn't do what I felt like doing. I did what I did by faith. And sometime, God is going to call all of us to make a sacrifice. It could be our money. It could be our time, our talent. We may go, I don't feel like it. And we're going to miss the blessing that God has for us. We plant by faith and not by our feelings. And that leads to my last point. Plant now. Don't wait for a better time. The sooner the better. Don't say, I'll do all that when I retire. I'm going to get serious about God then. No, you may not make it till then. No, you may make it, but you may not have the energy. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he who observes the wind does not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. So what will we do about this message? If we don't like the kind of life that we're reaping, then maybe we need to change our planning. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for how you created the universe. Thank you for all the laws that you wrote that the universe lives by. You said no one makes a fool out of you. You went on to say that whatever a person plants, that's what he's going to harvest. And Lord, we realize we can use that negatively or positively in our lives. God, help us to practice these laws of the harvest. Help us to plant good seed in the abundance in every area of our lives. Help us to be patient and realize that we reap in a season that is different than the one we sowed in. The fruit will come. Help us to remember we'll always reap more than we sow. God, help me not to live by my feelings, but to live by faith and to realize, God, maybe there's some seeds I need to plant even today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what seeds God is wanting you to plant in your life. I can only say one thing. Do it. Just do it. And wait for the harvest. He'll bring it. Maybe God has planted the seed of faith in your heart this morning that you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you do, you come and share with me and I'll help you with that. God is leading you to join this church, or for whatever reason God is leading you, I'm going to be standing here at the front and you feel free to come. Let's stand together.